Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 2nd. And welcome to our commentary. Welcome to the Labor Day weekend. As you probably know, those of you who have followed me for some time, we usually take a little break on these holidays. So we'll be recording a video today and then come back with our regular videos after Labor Day. So I hope that everybody has an enjoyable holiday. It's usually, for most people, I think it's a day of rest, maybe eating outside. And for many people, it's sort of like the last weekend of summer before we start thinking about the fall and NFL football and college football and things like that. So I hope you have a good one with your family. And don't eat too much. Of course, I always tell you that, but I have a habit of eating too much. So I don't take my own advice, but I hope you don't eat too much. Not too many cheeseburgers on Labor Day. I hope not. Well, today we're going to talk about Labor Day. And of course, when we talk about Labor Day, we talk about the American economy, because that's the whole idea of Labor Day. It was a day for the workers. And there's a couple of things about the American economy that are very interesting right now. The first one continues to be inflation, but the inflation now, the part of the inflation right now that is really killing the American consumer is what is happening with food. Now, there's other things too, like going out to eat. Think of how much more that is compared to what it used to be. But food inflation is really killing the American family. We have seen a decrease in the price of gasoline, and that's because you can cut back on the price of gasoline. You can cut back on gasoline as much as possible, not completely, but you can cut back a little bit. You don't have to drive as much. But food is a different thing. You have to feed yourself, you have to feed your family, and so on. And food inflation is really, I think, the big story. That's the inflation factor that I think is killing a lot of American families. And I don't see any break on that, frankly. And the fact that the Fed is still talking about raising interest rates because they're concerned about inflation. That, of course, is another factor. Another inflation factor, too, that I think will start hitting our pocketbooks here pretty soon is the cost of energy, whether it's heating your home or heating your business or cooling your home or whatever. The cost of energy, I think it's also going to be an impact. Look what's happening in Europe. So inflation has not gone away. In fact, inflation is going to be with us probably for a little bit longer, too long, I think, for most people. The other interesting thing about the American economy, it's related to inflation, is the whole question of a recession. Are we about to enter into a recession? Technically, we're already in one, even though the White House is denying it. They're saying, well, look at all the jobs. And that is true. The jobs market is still fairly decent. But we are technically in a recession because we've had two quarters of negative growth. Now, if we have a third quarter of negative growth, it'll be more difficult, of course, for the White House to deny it. But I think most people realize we're in a recession. And when you're hearing companies talk about laying off or not hiring people, for people, that's a recession. You know, I think people are not as hung up on these terms, inflation and recession. They're sort of academic terms. But for most people, inflation means the food prices are up. And for most people, recession means you've lost your job or you may be losing yours. And I think a lot of people fear those two things in this Labor Day weekend. So that's the Labor Day problem that we have right now, inflation and recession. Those are the two big words that people are talking about in the country. Now, President Biden spoke to the nation last night. I saw the replay. I didn't see the actual live speech. Now, I think the question a lot of us have is how many people actually saw the speech? Because as I understand, it was not shown in most of the networks. And the reason that it was not shown is because networks concluded that this was a political speech, not a presidential speech. You know, when the president says, I need time to address the nation, they usually give it to him. But he usually addresses the nation from the White House. And he's talking about some kind of a problem that is not political. For example, we all got used to President Bush talking about terrorism and so on. That's not what that speech last night was about. In fact, it was a shameful speech, because when President Bush was talking about a threat to the nation, George W. Bush, well, actually not just him, even President Reagan and even President Carter, when he spoke about the Soviets going into Afghanistan and so on. So normally when the president addresses a nation, there's something very serious that has nothing to do with politics. It has to do maybe with the economy or a threat to the common good of the country or whatever. Last night, the enemy was Donald Trump and his troops. And in other words, the millions and millions of people who voted for Trump. And I thought that was so reckless and foolish on the part of the White House to get into that kind of a speech. You know, in the past, some of you may remember this, but in the past, when the president wanted to go out and punch somebody on the other side, he would usually give that job to the vice president or somebody of his own political party, but he wouldn't do it himself. The best example of this, for those of you who remember your history, was President Nixon. President Nixon went very hard against his opponents, but he wouldn't do it himself. He had Vice President Agnew go out there and attack his opponents. So it was Vice President Agnew who was out there attacking his opponents, not as the President of the United States, obviously, not in a presidential speech, but a political speech where he was out there attacking his opponents. Usually presidents have given that task to the vice president or maybe somebody in their own party or whatever. They don't usually go on TV and say the biggest threat to the country is the guy on the other party or the guy in the other party or the guy who I may be running against in 2024. And that's why I thought the speech last night, I watched the replay of it. I read a lot of it. It was just absolutely incredibly bad. I mean, first of all, President Biden at this stage of his life is not exactly the most persuasive speaker. I mean, he's obviously a man who, you know, he's 80, what is he, 81, whatever it is. Obviously, when you get to that stage in your life, you're not as quick on your feet or as quick in delivering a speech as you used to be. He was a lot better, obviously, when he was a lot younger, as most of us are. But the speech itself was full of just a lot of attacks on MAGA Republicans. I don't know exactly how many MAGA Republicans are out there, but 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. And they didn't vote for Donald Trump because he was evil. They voted for Donald Trump because they were happy with the results. You know, people like me, for example, I always knew that Donald Trump had character problems, and I always knew that he tweeted too much, for example. But I was still very happy with the results. I mean, Donald Trump's results are very good if you look at his presidency. And I guess that's the part that I believe President Biden missed last night, that when he talks about Donald Trump as this great enemy of democracy, he forgets that for a lot of people, Donald Trump, when they hear Donald Trump, what they think about is $2 gasoline, low inflation, a border that was at least being run properly. And they listened to that speech last night and they go, what are you talking about? You know, who is this threat to our democracy that you keep talking about? So I thought it was a very bad speech and I thought it was absolutely worthless. And why did he give the speech? Who said give a speech like that? It could have been one of these political consultants who told him, hey, look, you know, you got to go out there and beat up the Republicans and beat up especially Donald Trump because you got to get out there and energize your base. Okay, probably that's what was behind all of this, but I think the bottom line, the results are not that good, I don't think he's gonna gain much from this, and that's all I can say. I mean, look, the president is a person, obviously he's a politician, obviously he's elected in an election, obviously we have a presidential campaign, obviously he gives campaign speeches. But when he's talking to the nation, he's got to be presidential. And that was not the case last night. It was a shameful speech. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. That was not a good performance. Not just a bad, I'm not just talking about the delivery. I'm talking about the content. It was not good at all. We need better. We need better from our presidents. And we didn't get that last night from President Biden. Well, let's close today with a little moment in history. We're going to go back to 1944. We're in the third year or the fourth year of the war, the World War II. And a young man by the name of George Bush was flying a Navy plane. He was a Navy pilot in the Pacific, and he was shot down by the Japanese plane or whatever. I'm not exactly sure why he was shot down, but he hit the ocean. His buddy in the plane was killed, and he survived the crash, but he was floating in the middle of the Pacific. And if you know anything about those waters, the biggest fear that these young men had was the fear of a shark. It wasn't so much that they were going to be captured by the Japanese. What they were really afraid of was the sharks, because these waters were full of sharks, and you were either going to drown or you were going to be killed by a shark. So that's what George Bush at that moment was thinking, that he was probably going to have to get into a fight with a shark and lose. And then out of nowhere, a submarine comes up and they pick him up. Now, as I understand, the submarine was given information that there were some pilots floating in the water, so they were looking for him. And the submarine came up and they found George, and he was saved and came back to the United States. And we know the rest of the story. He became the 41st president of the United States. He was also vice president under Ronald Reagan. So a great story of sacrifice and maybe a little bit of good luck as well. George Bush on this day in 1944. A good story, one to remember. We also say happy number 78 to Terry Bradshaw. He was the quarterback for the Steelers, and they beat the Cowboys, I know that. But he was, without question, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks of the last 30 or 40 years. Have a great happy day, happy Labor Day weekend. Enjoy yourself, and we'll reconnect after Monday. Bye-bye, everybody. And again, thank you for your comments this morning. We'll talk to you later. Happy Labor Day from those of us at my blog. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.